All right. On the show today, we've got coming up, we're turning the calendar page to the month of August, which means another Cup of Joe will be brewing right up. Deacon Joe Mihalik will join us with a sneak peek at his upcoming presentation, St. Joseph, Savior of the Savior. Next, how do you integrate your faith life into your work life? Leading with Faith Award honoree, Dr. James Kohler is with us to talk about faith in Jesus at the dental office and the difference that it makes to his practice and his patients. And finally, after 10 years on the job, Jason Adkins, executive director of the Minnesota Catholic Conference, had announced his resignation, but the Lord had different plans. Jason joins us to look back on a decade of work and look ahead at what's to come. That's what's coming up on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, offering the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, August is upon us, so it's time to start grinding the beans and warming the water to brew up another cup of joe. Of course, I'm talking about the 10 talks by 10 theologians on the 10 wonders of St. Joseph from 10 locations in our archdiocese entrusted to the patronage of St. Joseph. Coming up this Tuesday, August 3rd, the presentation St. Joseph, Savior of the Savior will be given by Deacon Joe Mihalik, Director of Diaconate Formation for the Archdiocese, but he joins us now with a preview. Welcome, Deacon, to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
It's great to have you with us. Now, I gotta ask right off. This is not in the script here, as it were, Deacon Mihalik, but you share a name with the good Saint Joseph as well. So I'm just curious if there have been connections between yourself and Saint Joseph over the years that you have really reflected upon.
Oh, certainly, and not only do I share the name Joseph, but my father's name is Joseph, and I had a grandfather's name who's Joseph, and my two sons' middle names are Joseph.
Wow.
So I've certainly identified with St. Joseph over the years, and in fact, it must be 20 years ago, had a little portion in a book, popular book on St. Joseph, interviewed. People have asked me over the years, how is it that I particularly identify with Joseph, and I think in two ways. One is just Joseph as father, husband, man of God, just in kind of broad categories.
Okay,
I've just always felt his kind of accompaniment and protection. And the second way is certainly just in daily work, asking his help and offering, especially what seems to be difficult or the grind or the tedious dimension, just ask him to intercede and for some grace to joyfully embrace some of the tedium of the daily work.
Sure, yeah. Well, those types of connections are always important and good inspiration for us. But, you know, under the many titles of St. Joseph, many of the ways that we have described him, even in and amongst the Cup of Joe series here, I got to say, Savior of the Savior is one of those titles that kind of it grabs you, right? Because you kind of think, wait a minute, you know, how can a mere human being be Savior of the Savior? So take us a little bit into that and what you're thinking of when you're thinking about St. Joseph as the Savior of the Savior.
Well, certainly, and I got to say right up, when Father Mark Evesius asked me to do that one, I have to admit, I had never really thought about Joseph under that title.
Yeah.
I said, I thought more in kind of broad or immediate categories.
Yep.
And so Savior of the Savior, I mean, the immediate way in which that happens is that episode where the angel spoke to Joseph, woke him in the night, as it were, and said, like, get up, take Mary, take the child, and get out of here. Because, very explicitly, Herod is seeking the child to destroy him. And Joseph immediately obeys and does that. They flee. They become refugees, exiles, you know, we think of all those who have to flee in our day and age to to escape persecution or hardship or war and poverty, and Joseph and Mary and Jesus became that, and it was Joseph that, you know, he had to do it. He was the one, and there's no other episode that we know of in the life of Jesus where we see that complete, utter dependence on another human being, really to save his life. I mean, think about this. No one stood between Jesus and destruction, Herod, except Joseph. And so that's, I mean, that's the immediate and most obvious way in which that title, Savior of the Savior, comes to fruition. But I got to say, and I you'll hear this in the episode of Cup of Joe, as I began to try to ponder that more, I actually ran into kind of a difficulty in my imagination, because we live in the culture of the superhero, you know, the Marvel comic Savior.
Right.
Everybody has seen these movies, Hulk and Thor and Iron Man, Captain Marvel, Black Widow. I mean, they're just everywhere, right?
Right.
And yep. And those saviors, they're always saving the world. You know, they're saving right. all of humanity in flamboyant, futuristic, fantastic ways, and they wear these goofy outfits, and they have all these superpowers, and they can get small and get big and some super strength, and they bounce off buildings, they fly, and you know, it's captivating and futuristic, and it grabs us. But that's not at all Joseph. And so we almost expect that. I think it is even a way in which, on a popular level, we can think of Saint Joseph as this guy with almost the flowing robes and the superpowers. You know, he must have, because he was a saint. He must have, you know, of course he was able to do that. But he wasn't. That's not the main, it's not at all the way that we get a picture of Joseph. In fact, we get the opposite. We get hiddenness and silence. There's no words of Joseph in the scripture. Simple, obedient action, daily routine, and the embrace of suffering. That's not the Marvel comic superhero. This is actually everyday life for most people. Hidden, silent, obedience, daily routine, and suffering.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I got to say, too, as I reflect on that and just listening to you talk about it, you're right. There is this, there's this, well, understated seems too understated. It's such a diminutive role, it seems like, that St. Joseph plays, and yet it is so crucial, so ultimately, at this stage. But here's what I find myself wondering, Deacon, and see if you can reflect on this a little bit, too, is that, I mean, on the cross, or just before the cross, you know, Jesus is basically saying, yeah, well, my Father could call down legions of angels to my, you know, to my defense, mm-hmm. should I need it. And certainly, he could have done the same thing at this point. You know, he could have protected Jesus from the vengeful, wrathful Herod, right? And say it spared his life.
Sure.
And yet, that's not what he chose to do. He chose to engage the help of the Holy Family, but most specifically, in your case, in as you've been talking about, Saint Joseph, by telling him, get up, take the child, and flee. And that's got to reveal a lot about how God chooses to work with us through the about the obedience of Saint Joseph, you know, and things like that, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the whole incarnational principle there, that God enters into the human condition, and there's a way in which the very dependence of the baby on others illuminates for us that's God's part of God's plan for all of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Part of God's plan. He himself enters the poverty of an utterly dependent child. And he enters the as I said, that kind of hidden, understated, as you said, daily routine and all that's part of that human condition. And this is again where I think Joseph in his silence, almost shouts, in his hiddenness, pierces with fantastic action that we have to think about, because it's described only in these highlights in the scripture. But thinking about 30 years, however many years Joseph was around for Jesus, every day, day in, day out, getting up, doing his work, praising God, worshiping at the temple, the daily psalms, caring for the family, hardship, they were not wealthy, and all the things that all parents everywhere go through, wondering, what's my child going to be? Will my child be faithful? What's the future hold for them? Here we are at this, specifically when Jesus was very young, as exiles, refugees, a foreign land, can't speak the language. We've got to take care of them. No one else will. The hardship of work. We think about Joseph the carpenter, and I think maybe that we think of some guy with, I don't know, like a specialty wood shop or something, and very bespoke, intricate. Well, the word carpenter is only one translation of the Greek. Many have suggested a better translation is stoneworker or laborer. Even you think of a ditch digger. I grew up in Pittsburgh. And so when I think of St. Joseph, I think of a steel worker who's tired, bruised, struggling to provide for his family. And so Jesus' very dependence on that kind of guy illuminates something about how God wants to enter into everything that we experience and redeem all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's so intimately connected, most especially perhaps with, of course, the Blessed Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, and spending so many years under their care, which makes them a great reference point for us in relating to our Lord as well.
Right. And think about this little episode that comes up later, right, when Jesus is 12 and Mary and Joseph lose him.
Right.
For three
right.
days,
exactly.
Right? Like we lost Jesus. What?
The world is now doomed.
I mean, like, wow. I mean, but just again on that purely human level,
right.
and Mary speaks the words, Joseph doesn't, but she says, "Your father and I," meaning Joseph, Joseph and I have been in distress. It could be translated anguish, because we're just burdened, weighed down with anxiety because we lost you. And of course, it prefigures the 3 days in the tomb, and there's so much rich symbolic meaning here. I'm just trying to highlight this episode that God, as it were, arranged in the boyhood of Jesus to illuminate what all parents experience and kind of stresses in family. And Jesus, then, those assuring words, "Did you not know I would be with my Father in my Father's house, in the temple, dwelling always with the Father," which means all of parental distress and anxiety and care and even pain in the family can be brought with Jesus into the Father's house. Into right. his presence, right?
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, yeah, great reflections with Deacon Joe Mihalik, who's going to be giving the next in the series of Cup of Joe, put on by the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, a series of 10 talks by 10 theologians on the 10 wonders of St. Joseph, taking place at 10 locations in our archdiocese, entrusted to the patronage of our spiritual father. And Deacon Mihalik will be talking on St. Joseph, Savior of the Savior. This talk will premiere on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram the first Tuesday of the month. That's this Tuesday, now through December at 4 p.m., just in time for your afternoon coffee. So, Deacon Mihalik, I got to ask, what is your hope for, in our closing minute or so here together, what is your hope for what people will take away from this presentation?
When you get a chance to listen to it, you'll hear I also tell some personal testimony of deeper ways of identifying with Joseph and certain suffering that I and my family have endured, and also some other images that might better portray, rather than the Marvel comic hero, I'm going to suggest a particular literary figure. Listen to the episode to catch who that is.
Ooh,
that's
nice.
A better model for us. And partly what I'm really hoping there that we take away is that we can all better identify in our everyday fabric of life, not superhero, dramatic, I've got to do grandiose things for God, but as Joseph, Savior of the Savior, he becomes so, and he does so flowing from, in fact, the daily, obedient, even suffering, quiet, understated, I love your word, understated, just simple, living out the vocation that God has indeed called him to. And we can all identify with that. Mm-hmm. So that's what I hope it gets illuminated for us.
Wonderful. Well, Deacon Joel Mahalik, thank you for joining us. Before you go, may we get a quick blessing from you?
Indeed. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and through the intercession of St. Joseph, descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Deacon Joel Mahalik, thank you so much for joining us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you.
And you. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, it's time for our first break, but don't touch that dial. When we return, what does it mean to lead with faith in a dental office? Dr. Jake Kohler will tell us about how his Catholic faith makes a difference for him and his patients. Stay with us.